Today we talk to Perry Andreessen of the Bridges Golf Course in San Ramon, California.
This is Golf Smarter. Each week you'll get inside information on how to lower your scores through strategy and course management. We'll ask course pros, designers, and architects to reveal their secrets in an effort to improve your game. If you're a beginner or a seasoned pro, subscribe to the Golf Smarter podcast. Here's your host, Fred Green.
Welcome and thanks for joining us. You know, there seems to be a new breed of golfer in the new millennium. He wants to hit the ball as far as possible. He likes his toys, and he has a lot of training aids. Today, our guest is Perry Andreessen, who's the Director of Instruction for the Bridges Golf Course in San Ramon, California. And later in the show, we're going to talk about playing strategy for the six more difficult holes at the Bridges in San Ramon. Now, Perry, the focus of Golf Smarter is strategy. I like hitting the ball as far as I can, just like everybody else. I like the big drive. But that's not always the best shot, is it?
Not necessarily. And it has a lot to do with what golf course you're playing. As you know, as far as the tour players go, it seems like certain players do well on certain courses. And a lot of players, they'll even strategize their schedule for the year based on, you know, what courses fit their game.
Now, on perryandreessen.com, your website, you talk about relax. Can you expand on that a little bit? What do you mean?
Relax. Relax in general is most people who take up the game of golf, they take up the game of golf to relax. And rarely is that the case. People start playing golf, they get frustrated, and pretty soon, you know, their golf game is a lot more intense than anything they do all day. So relax is just about, I have a little slogan on my website, and it talks about pressure and basically it's just golf. You know, if you just cared about your playing partners, maybe more than the outcome, it'd be that much more fun, and it would improve your game if you would just relax and feel like a kid. I mean, that's what you're doing. You're going out to play. You know, hey, you want to go play? Well, the word play means to have fun and relax, and, you know, I can't tell you how many times I get paired up with people who are just so frustrated they're not much fun to play with, and they're definitely not having a good time. So that's basically what it is.
No, it's not fun when you start getting frustrated with your game, but isn't the frustration level is the thing that will bring your game down?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's all about your fun meter. I mean, if your fun meter isn't up, then you're either gonna quit the game, or you're gonna get better, or you've got to figure out, you know, why isn't it fun? Is it me? Is it the fact that I just don't enjoy shooting the kind of scores I'm playing? Is it the people I'm playing with? Is it the courses? Is it my equipment? You know, then it comes down to, is it all worth it? And hopefully it is. And I really would think that I could help in all of those aspects. There's a lot that I do in my teaching that cures frustration. I mean, the frustrated golfer is one of my favorite golf lessons that I give. If somebody comes in and they're frustrated, I like to know exactly what that is. And that could be anything from I'm topping the ball to my spouse is trying to tell me what to do and none of that's working, to I don't know why I slice, you know, just some basic things. And, well, to me, I think they're pretty basic. But as you said in the opening about, you know, there's so much information that you can grab from either the Golf Channel or Golf Digest or Golf, any of the magazines that are out there. But I tell people this, if they're saying things to a professional golfer who's playing and practicing every day, there's a good chance that what they're working on may or may not be what you should be working on. And so the danger of looking at those magazines is you're not exactly sure sometimes what their big problem is. And, you know, most PGA Tour professionals, their problem in general is either they're hooking the ball too much or they're hitting it too high, I would say. Sometimes they're hitting it too low, and sometimes they're slicing. But in general, that's it. But the average player generally isn't hitting the ball in the air, or they're slicing. And so, you know, the way to correct each one can be totally different.
Hmm. Well, one of the interesting things you talk about here has been practice. And a lot of people don't get enough time to practice. They just want to go out and play. So what they end up doing is making corrections during their round. That seems to be a foolish thing to do. I would think that, as in any sport, once you, in golf, once you step up to the tee, it's time to focus on your game and going lower score, not changing your stroke every time you take one.
Correct. And, you know, it's funny you say that, because you must have read one of my articles. I wrote an article in it, and it started out with that idea of, you know, you have this idea of how you want your day to go, or you just had a golf lesson and you've got some really great ideas, and you're either you've practiced them a little bit or not very much, and you're about ready to go out on the first tee and you're about ready to play golf, and all of a sudden, two or three holes into it, it's just not working. You're not making good contact, the ball isn't flying how you expected, and here you go. You're going to start with some other things that have worked in the past, and when you run out of things to think about, your close friends in the group, they're going to see some things in your swing, and here we go. You've got a million swing thoughts that you're trying to do in the span of about a second and a half, and it's really one of the most, that's where the frustration really comes in, is all these thoughts and ideas, and you've got to have a plan for yourself. And if you're not real sure how ball flight works, then anything you try can be fairly dangerous. For example, I always tell people this: when you're slicing, there's only one reason why you're slicing. And it's the same in tennis, it'd be the same in hockey, it'd be the same in ping pong, any flat surface round ball game, to keep it simple, and that is that your club face is, if for a right-handed player, your club face at contact is pointed to the right, and that's what makes the ball spin right. And a lot of people would, you know, the argument out there is, well, you could be coming outside in. But my argument is you could come outside in and you could hook it also. So just take slicing as an example. If you didn't know that your club face is open and that's why you sliced, but a friend in your group said, well, your left arm isn't straight at the top, or your left heel comes off the ground on your backswing, or, you know, there's all of these different theories, and I call them preferences, which are, a preference is just something that might aesthetically help, and it might actually help the performance of your game, but it's not a truth or a law. And a law would be something like the club face. If the club face is pointed to the right, your ball's going to go to the right, and it doesn't matter if your arm's straight or your foot's off the ground or your elbow's bent or any of those things. If you just were able to, okay, I'm slicing, the club face is open, if I just get the club face square at impact, or even think of it as being closed, that should help. And how you do that is, there's a million ways to do that, but you've got to have some groundwork as far as reading your ball flight.
So don't take instruction from your friends. Don't change what you're doing during your round. Go get an instructor somewhere. Don't even watch the Golf Channel if you're trying to make changes, right? Get yourself an instructor.
Pretty much. I mean, I would say there's a lot you can learn from a book, but you're not going to learn feel, and you won't get that individual attention, you know, some real specific things that might be your own personal tendencies. I mean, even the people that I've taught for, you know, 6-7 years that have come in and maybe taken over 100 golf lessons, we still have about 4 or 5 or 6 things that we always go back to. You know, people just have a tendency to do certain things, and once you know what your tendencies are, and you can recognize that on the golf course, whether in what you feel, which can be more difficult than just recognizing the ball flight and going, oh, that's right, to correct that, I need to do this. And then you make it really simple, and you're a lot less frustrated, and, you know, the voice in your head would just be a lot quieter than he probably currently is or has been when you get frustrated.
So what you want to do is, when you start making mistakes and you start having problems, forget about them. Just take the next shot and don't worry about what has been. Don't even, you know, when you play a course that you've played multiple times, go, boy, I hit it in the water here every single time. Those don't count anymore, right?
Right. I had a friend of mine who actually just got back from Q school, and he hit it in the water on one of the holes on like the fourth round. And I had asked him, I said, well, you know, you just made 3 birdies in a row right before that. And he was telling me how he was blaming his golf swing for what was going on. And I had said, well, if you just made 3 birdies, and then on the next hole, you hit it in the water. I mean, is there a chance that it wasn't necessarily your swing? I mean, what is that? And we just sat there, and I was really quiet, and I just waited. And he said, well, you know what, honestly? I said, yeah, I want to hear it honestly. I mean, I want the truth on this. He said, well, in the practice round, I remembered hitting it in the water on that hole. And that was the first thing to go through my mind when I got to the tee on that third day. So it is weird how, and it isn't a course that he plays very often, obviously, or had played before this week that Q School was. And so for him to say that was interesting because, you know, that was the honest reason. And a lot of us, we just were looking for something physical, mechanical wrong with our swing. And, you know, if you have the wrong visual in your head right as you are ready to go, and it's not to, you know, swing the club down the fairway or pick out a spot that you want to land it, and the water creeps in your head, whether it's I hit it in the water in the practice round, or if you say, don't hit it in the water, well, don't hit it in the water, in my mind, says water. I don't know. I don't have any other picture. It's like saying, if I said, don't think about a pink elephant, what are you going to be thinking about? So your mind really isn't going to digest the word don't. But if you would say, if the water, let's say the water is on the right side, and it could be wide open down the left side of the fairway. If you say, okay, I just want to hit it down the left side of the fairway, instead of aiming down the middle saying, I don't want to hit it right of the fairway. You see, there's a big difference there. If you just pick a spot down the left side and say, okay, I can see where that little mound is on the left side, and that's where I want the ball to land. Now you have the right view and picture in your mind of where you want the ball to land and roll. And I just think that's a better way to play golf, and you just take out the stress of the water. I mean, the water's there. You get on the tee and you see it. Okay, thank you, water. Thanks for being there. But I'm going to go here. I'm going to go over this mound on the left. If you think of it that way, it seems to make it easier.
Hey, why don't we do this? Why don't we take a short little break, and
sure,
when we come back, let's talk about the Bridges Golf Course and the four toughest holes there, and we'll talk about how to play those.
As we make the turn, we want you to know that we're taking requests. If you'd like us to feature a specific course on Golf Smarter, our email address is golfsmarter@ttour.com. That's Golf Smarter, one word, @teetour.com. Whether you're planning a golf vacation, playing in an upcoming tournament, or have a favorite course for which you have a question, please let us know and we'll do a show just for you. Again, here's your host for Golf Smarter, Fred Green.
All right, we're back with Perry Andreessen. He's the Director of Instruction at the Bridges Golf Course in San Ramon, California, which is Northern California in the East Bay side. And Perry, how long have you been working there?
I've been here since September of 1999, and so that was before the golf course opened. The golf course opened in November of 99.
And why don't you give us an overview of the course?
The course has been known to be fairly challenging. I would say straight is better than long, for sure, on probably about 80% of the holes, at least. The one thing you can count on at the Bridges Golf Course is the greens usually run pretty fast, pretty true. They've been in great shape at least for the last three seasons. There's water. There's a creek, actually, that runs throughout the golf course, and it's on every hole except the first hole, actually, and it's pretty much in play on everything. So there's some hillsides mounding. There's some undulation to the fairways. The greens are fairly undulated. And I would say in the last 6 years since I've started working here, they have changed the course quite a bit. They've to make it easier too. They've taken out some bunkers to make it a little easier. They've flattened out, I believe, about 7 greens. You wouldn't believe it because they're still quite undulating, but it's made it a lot more playable and a lot more fun.
The practice facility there, is there a nice practice greens that will really give you an indication of what it's like to putt on the greens in that course?
We have 3 practice greens. One is fairly undulating, and the other two are fairly flat. The practice center itself is ranked in I would say in one of the best places to practice in the East Bay. We get people from all of the private clubs from the area that don't have a driving range. They tend to come over here to practice. We've got a nice indoor teaching bay. Actually, we've got two indoor teaching bays with video instruction and take-home CDs. And it's just been great. Even in the wintertime, the weather doesn't affect the full swing instruction at all.
Well, that's great. Well, it's a very short winter compared to the rest of the country, but it is good that you have that there. Is it a walking course, or are you going to be driving?
You're more than likely going to be taking a golf cart. The distance between from green to tee can be quite lengthy on some holes, and there's a lot of undulation to the golf course, so you can walk it. They do allow you to walk, but it is difficult.
Okay. And do you have GPS systems on those carts?
We do not.
Okay, so how well is the course marked? Because that's the one thing that probably slows down the pace of play more than anything, are people looking for yardage markers.
Yeah, the sprinkler heads and the fairways are marked very well to the center of the green. At 150 yards out, there's also signage. And on the cart path, there'll be little signs on the cart path that tell you if 100, 150, and 200 yards. And on the par fives, I believe there's even some 250-yard signs.
Okay. Well, why don't we go to hole number two? It's it's the number one handicap hole on the course. What's our target at the tee box?
The target off the tee box is the very left edge of the fairway, or what you can see from the tee. I wouldn't call it a blind shot, but there is a little part of the left side of the fairway that you want to aim towards, which is, depending on what tee box you're playing, you may or may not be able to see your ball land, and then once it lands, it's going to kick a little to the right.
How many tee boxes are there?
There are five.
Okay. And so for a mid-handicap player, where they're going to be? Which color?
A mid-handicap player, you'd probably want to play the white set of tees, which is the middle tee. And on that hole, the yardage, let me just take a quick look. It is... gosh, it's 423, and it's uphill. So that's a really lengthy par 4. Like I said, you want to keep your drive down the left side, and then you're probably going to have a long iron into the green, depending on the wind.
Is it it's a par 4 and a par 5? That's what I didn't understand on the scorecard.
It's actually a par 5 for ladies.
Okay. So played as a par 4, but you got to have some long, accurate shots.
Correct. When I first started working here, that hole was actually a par 5, and the tee was back much farther and on the left, and they changed that to a par 4, which actually made the hole obviously shorter, but it made it into a pretty difficult par 4, but it's a good one.
And what about the green?
The green itself is fairly flat, and you can land it short and run it on, which is nice if you've got to play a fairway wood to a long iron to an uphill green. So it's two-tiered. In the middle of the green, there's a slight tier, but it's flat on the lower and top tier.
And what is the size of the green on hole number two? And is it standard size for the rest of the course or different?
It's about the same as the rest of the course. The greens are pretty big. I don't know offhand. Oh, here it is. It's 38 yards deep from front to back. So that's a pretty good size. As far as left to right, it's more narrow.
And do you believe that that is the number one handicap hole on the course?
Absolutely, yeah. I can't argue that.
Okay, well then let's go to the next one, which would be the three handicap hole, and it's ending the front nine. It's number nine, and it's a par four.
Okay, number nine is a much easier hole. From the tee, you can either play, I would say if you're going to play the white tee, you're going to need to hit a ball about 190 to 200 yards off that tee. So that could be anywhere from a long iron to a utility club. If you wanted to hit driver on that hole, you'd have to go over, from your view, it would be over the cart path, which is down the very left side of it's a little left of the rough. Between the hillside and the rough is the cart path, and you'd want to hit something right over that. You wouldn't want it to go to the right, because off the right side of the fairway, it drops off into that creek that's on every hole except for the first.
So it's something that if you're not familiar with the course, you probably don't want to go driver unless you're really comfortable with it.
Right, and you're hitting it pretty straight. Even as comfortable as I am, I don't necessarily need to hit driver on that hole, because even if you do hit driver, you're probably, well, with driver, you could be anywhere from 60 to 120 yards, and when you hit that long iron to utility club, you've probably got about 140, 150. So the advantage may or may not be there hitting driver anyways.
So that's a good thing in your strategy, is to start at the green when you're at the tee box, look towards the green and work your way backwards. And
correct.
See,
yeah,
what you're most comfortable with your second shot would be.
Correct. I mean, you could go as far as, okay, if I have a birdie putt, what side of the pin do I want to be on? And you could even go back from there, you know, to the fairway with, okay, the green is, like, number nine has a fairly good slope from back to front, which means it's facing the fairway, and there's pretty good slope to the back of the green. So it's pretty receptive to just about any club. So it wouldn't really matter necessarily, you know, if you had to hit, say, a 7-6 iron into there versus a wedge or 9 iron. It's pretty receptive to all those clubs.
Great. Well, let's go to the number 4 handicap hole. It's on the back 9. Number 16 is a par 4.
If you've never played the golf course, that is probably the one that's going to give you the most puzzling view from the tee box, because what you're going to see from the tee, you might not even see it, but the creek runs in front of the fairway, probably, let me see on my card here, I've got it 220 yards from the white tee, from the tee to the hazard, and it's downhill, and that hole usually plays downwind. So for me, I'm going to hit, and I prefer to hit more of a low running punch shot, and the reason is to keep it low and just to run it down the hill. I don't need to fly it, because if I fly it too far and it hits a hard spot in the fairway, it can run all the way through the fairway into the rough and possibly even into the creek on that hole. So I like to hit a low kind of punch 5 iron off the tee. Now my 5 iron will go maybe 185, and that's with a full swing. And when I hit the punch, it's only going about 160. But in the summertime, that will definitely run out to the end of the fairway. In the wintertime, I might have to hit more of a standard 5 iron or sometimes even 4 iron, because when the ball lands in that fairway in the wintertime, it's going to stop for me. So it almost depends on what time of year you're playing it.
And what about the winds out there and at various times of the year? Do they have an impact on your round?
I would say so. I always pay attention to the wind, no matter what it is. In the fall and winter season, I would say there's very little wind. In the summer, you know, after 12 o'clock, it can blow pretty good at our golf course here at the Bridges.
And which way is the wind blowing? Is it coming in your face? Is it behind you? What's it generally doing?
It's coming from the west. You'll be able to feel it. It's not like a mystery. You know, some courses you play and you get back in the trees and you're not sure which way the wind's coming from, but our course doesn't have very many trees on it. So you'll have a pretty good idea where it's coming from. So the wind isn't such a guess as it can be on some more protected golf courses.
Well, why don't we go to the finishing hole? Number 18 is the number 2 handicap. It's also a par 4. Is it the toughest hole on the back 9?
Is it the toughest hole? It's definitely the longest hole as far as par 4s go. And, you know, from the very back tee, it's 463. From the white tee, which the average player would be playing from, it's 417.
Wow.
But what really isn't taken into account is sometimes they put the pin back. And the 18th green at our golf course is 75 yards from the front of the green to the back of the green. So that's yards, not feet. So that's quite a distance. So mm-hmm. You could be at the 150-yard marker with a great tee shot, and you'd want to hit your tee shot more down the right side, because it's a hole that it doglegs left to right, but there's a slight hill on the right, so you kind of want to land it on the hill and then let it bounce down to the fairway. And like I said about the green, if you're 150 yards out on that hole and the pin's in the back, you could have up to 180 yards to the pin from there.
Wow. And when you're taking that tee shot and you're looking towards the hill, what What am I aiming at? What is the target that I should be looking towards? Is there a bunker there or what?
There is not a bunker there. There is, you could either aim at the cart path if you wanted a more aggressive line, or slightly inside that, which would be over the rough that is on the hill that slopes down to the fairway. That's probably the line. There's also deep in the distance, there's a huge tunnel, which is the tunnel that you would take in your golf cart to go. When you're done with your round, you're going to take that tunnel back to the clubhouse, and you can aim pretty much at that tunnel, and that's a good line also.
And if people want to book tee time, what's the best way to do it? Should they call up or they go on the web?
They can do either one. They can call the Bridges Golf Club, and the phone number there is 925-735-4253, and the golf shop extension is extension 1, or you can go to thebridgesgolf.com and book a time on the website.
And what are they going to find on that website?
At the Bridges website?
Yeah.
There's a great layout and flyover on and description of every hole on the golf course. There is the anything at the practice facility as far as prices on range balls and golf lessons and anything of that nature.
And we can find you and write more questions to you at perryandreessen.com. That's PerryAndreessen.com.
Correct.
And if people have questions, they get to you. But if you have questions for us, you can write to us at golfsmarter@ttour.com. Perry, thanks so much for joining us today and give us all this information. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Fred. Thanks for having me on your show.
Please let us know how we're doing. Email us. Let us know what you think. And tell your friends about Golf Smarter. And while you're in your pro shop, ask them about T-Tour. T-Tour is a video companion to Golf Smarter. And it's an 18-hole shot-by-shot guide of where to hit and why for resort and destination courses. The idea here is when you know the course, you lower your score. And that's why we want to help you golf smarter. Thanks for listening. I'm Fred Green.